listeners from all things Everton. I am Jerry, and I'm some American guy. We also have Edward, who is from Southport. Edward, what's up, man?
Not much.
Awesome. And we have a special treat for viewers and listeners today. If you check out the Toffee Blues website, you see their match previews, you see match reactions, you know this guy, all right? His name is David, he's contributed to us before as well, and let's welcome him. It's pretty awesome to have you, man.
Woo!
All right, guys. Thanks very much.
So, David, awesome that you could be here and talk to us. If you could just tell us a little bit about how you became an Everton supporter and your articles and anything else you want to add.
That particular case was given to me by my father. I'm 5 years old, he took me to my first game. We actually won, though, so it was a kind of false sense of security. Because this was in the late 90s and Everton weren't doing well then. He got me a season ticket, I was very lucky. I paid every single year up until I was around 16. At that age, then I started buying my own season ticket. I jumped into the Gladys Street because I think if anyone sits in there, they know it's a little bit cheaper and the atmosphere is better.
Yeah.
And then I've basically been an Everton fan all my life. Started writing casually, articles in general, then going on to football, the odd Everton stuff that I do myself. And then, I got talking to the Toffee Blues. They offered me a regular piece, and now I cover the match day previews and match day reports. So yeah, good stuff. I'm glad
Tom
reads it, even if it's Eddie and Edward. But you know,
that's one of the things. Like when I first started being an Everton supporter, I didn't really know people were doing that. Yeah. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah,
you know. And it really took, I think last year was my first year actually going to these websites and seeing what fellow supporters think and how much research and how much they actually know.
Yeah, definitely.
It's pretty enlightening when I realized. I was like, wow, I know nothing right now. So
guys out there, and I won't put myself in their bracket, but I'd like to think I do put a little bit of research into what I do, even if it doesn't look like it. But yeah, I enjoy it, you know. I think having this kind of community feel, and when you do have these accounts out there, it kind of brings everyone together and we all suffer together, so I like to think that I help out with that.
Yeah, we never enjoy together, we literally just suffer for the whole time.
Yes.
Basically for the season.
Yeah.
Alright, so we should probably get into the show because we really have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Today's show, the way this is going to look, not just for you guys, but for listeners, we've got a Brighton reaction because, that happened on Sunday. We're going to do a little good, bad, and the ugly for that. We're also going to be running through the news. We have a lot of fan thoughts today, a lot of them. Apparently, they're thinking out there. Then we've got the what was that?
No, it's just interesting when Evertonian staff thinking, but we'll see.
We had a deluge of comments. It was pretty great, actually.
Yeah.
We also have a Lyon preview, and we've got a little we need to be talking about Rooney some. All right, let's go. Good, mad, the ugly for Brighton. David, you are our guest. So, do you want to start this off?
Handing the baton to you.
Yeah, I'm probably quite lucky there because there's so little good that I wouldn't have liked to be going third. I think Vlasic once again played quite well. He's already looking like he's been a really good buy considering how late he come in the window and how much we paid for him. I think he looks sharp and, you know, as a few others have alluded to, I think, you know, everyone's been making excuses for the likes of Ramirez and Klaassen. You know, this lad's come in, new league, tougher competition in a team that's not playing well. And he seems to be playing some good football. He looks sharp and we need pace and he seems to have it. So, yeah, I think if you scraping the barrel for good things from yesterday, I think Vlasic is one of them.
Definitely agree. Do you have any more good?
I mean, come on now.
All right.
To be honest.
All right, Edward.
No. You go next, Jerry. You go next.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
All right, well, my number one was Vlasic, and I'm assuming, Edward, he's high up on your list, too. Guy's really tough to bump off the ball. You know, you saw him several times where somebody would come up and try to body him up, and he would kind of lose his balance. Well, that's partly because of the pitch. But he kind of loses his balance and then catch himself, right himself, and keep going. It reminded me a lot of the way Ross plays and the way Ross kind of, he'll get that ball and, like, maraud forward, and he's so tough to get off the ball. And that's one of the biggest problems when players come over from other leagues. But he's got it. He's got it down. I love watching that kid play, man. It's awesome because his sister is all over Twitter, and she's always pushing stuff out about him and Everton. And it's, yeah, it's really cool. But he's my number one good. And I actually have three goods. So, yeah, I was really trying to, yeah. We'll get there. Edward, you want to go next, man?
No, carry on with your good if you've got any more. I need inspiration.
Michael Keane.
Yeah.
I thought Michael Keane looked pretty good. He's still strong in the back. He was not our problem on Sunday. He actually made some runs forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He had a really,
you know, that
had a really good block as well from one of their chapters. There was some shout of handball. I think it would have been harsh to give that, but yeah, I think he was strong. I think it helped having Jagielka next to him again. I think, you know, Williams hasn't played well, has he? So I think, yeah, Jagielka probably brought the best out of Keane on Sunday.
Yeah, I think the handball, it looked like it deflected off of like his leg and then hit his hand. I don't see how you could how could he have the time to move and get out of the way if I don't
It was within like the natural sort of position of his body, wasn't it, really? Because you don't, if it was something like that, I can understand, but covering himself, it kind of makes sense. It was natural instinct as well, isn't it? If you think about it. I need to put down my glass of water.
Last thing, the last good. I think Rooney took a good PK.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah.
Now you're getting desperate.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, being an Everton supporter for the short time that I have, I've seen some crap PKs. All right, I've seen some bad penalties. And it started when, I guess, Baines decided to start giving it up. I got used to Lukaku taking them the whole time. I'm sitting there thinking, please make this, dude. I don't think you're going to. I didn't trust him as being clinical from the spot. I just didn't.
Yeah.
So when Rooney walks up, the whole time I'm sitting there saying, you're Wayne effing Rooney. You're Wayne effing Rooney. You know, and I was just like, I hope he remembers that. You know, it was like a mantra. Kept telling myself. And he put it, in all fairness, he put it directly just inside the post.
Yeah.
It was pretty.
Even if the keeper went the correct way, which I don't think he did.
No, he didn't.
Well, yeah. Even if he did, I think it was still going to be in the back of the net.
Sad netting, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
But then just inside the post.
That was why we brought him in. I mean, for all the flaws that appear in this season, we needed that kind of experience late on in the game. And yesterday, it did come good for us.
Now that we've finished entertaining optimism as a thing.
What about my good?
I thought you were actually. Do you have some?
No, it's basically just repeating what you guys have said.
All right, well, elaborate. Do it, Edward. Go.
Keane, obviously one of the signings I really wanted to bring in, doing my road to glory on him as well, but he was probably one of our best players on the pitch. And going back to the thing with Vlasic, I find it interesting how, like you say, making excuses for Sandro and Klaassen. You know, both of these are 21, 24, all right, not much older than Vlasic. I think Vlasic, he's only about 18, isn't he? 19? Something like that. But how he doesn't get shrugged off the ball and how he's sort of come from a lower league, maybe that's sort of like the areas we should be maybe looking at for future players. Like, not lower leagues in a sense, but like the leagues that aren't as noticeable or have much notoriety compared to the likes of Eredivisie or La Liga, anything like that. Maybe that's something to look at for the future.
Well, the transfer fees are certainly less, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about, I mean, did you guys feel like we got kind of out-muscled a bit on Sunday?
Yeah.
They've come from the championship, so yeah.
That's what I'm referring to, is exactly what you were saying, Edward. Vlasic comes from a lower league where it's not, there's probably, physical aspects are probably a bigger part of the game. And the championship, I feel like, a championship season, Brighton just came up. And that's where they're from. So many of them have lived through a championship season where it's rough. And I'm so psyched that some of our younger guys are there right now getting the experience and toughening up like that. And you may have a good point on that, Edward. Anyway, anything else?
Nope.
All right.
It's just echoing what everyone else has said, and that's literally scraping. You're literally getting onto the actual barrel itself at that point.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and do the bad. Edward, do you want to start it off this time? Because you were...
Actually, no. I've got sort of like a bad... I didn't get to go to the game because I was working. But... I'm also kind of glad that's going to be in my personal good. I didn't have to spend 6 hours travelling down to that game to watch that kind of performance. I feel so sorry for all the people. You've got to admire them for the amount of hard work they put in to set themselves aside to get to these games every single week. But you've just got to feel sorry for them. They put all that money in and then just all comes to nothing. And obviously, the performance itself was just really pathetic. And Koeman is looking really, really nervy. He's even going with the whole unshaved look. If you've noticed any of the interviews afterwards, he's really feeling the pressure.
All right. David, bad.
Once again, I feel like this is going to be kind of cut short, but for all the wrong reasons, just because I think I could be here all day listing the bad. But what two things I'm going to go for. I think first thing, again, recurring theme of the season is the team selection. I think he's getting so close to getting it right in some aspects, and then others he just can't seem to get it right. It's this two holding midfielders again when we don't need it against lesser opposition. You know, he's gone back to putting Holgate as a right back. But I think the biggest one of them all for me is Rooney up top on his own. I can't understand that decision. He's 31, 32 now, Rooney. His legs have been gone for a while, and you know, we were all happy to see him come back for the experience he brings. And me personally, I thought he was going to be an impact player who, you know, the last 20 minutes bringing that experience into the game, and you know, something similar to what did happen yesterday. The penalty, 90th minute, Rooney steps up and puts it away. But he's playing too many games for me. I think it's going to be another thing in the end that's going to be the downfall of Koeman. Team selection for me is just so, so wrong. What's Luckman going to do to get a game? I know I'm just echoing what every Evertonian's saying at the moment, but you know, the lad's doing really well at the under-23s, and we're glaringly missing pacing. He can't seem to see it, and it reminds me so much of the Martinez days. Roberto Koeman, it's starting to be the nickname I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the thing is with Evertonians as well, that, you know, they have the flaws, but they know good football, and you can't fool Evertonians. And when he's coming on to Twitter afterwards and saying, you know, we should have won that game, this and that.
No, we didn't.
He shouldn't have won a game this season on the performances. And yeah, I just think team selection, terrible.
Okay. I'm going to ask you this. Are you in Koeman out or Koeman in?
I'm going to be honest. I don't think I've ever fully been in Koeman in. You know, even if... And it is a bit of hindsight. So, you know, I don't want to act like I was saying when we finished seventh I don't want him here and this and that. But, you know, you look at the cup competitions last season, we went out very early, both. Less opposition at home. Our record against the top teams was shocking again last season. And he spent a lot of money and, you know, people talk about him having time. Well, we played 15 competitive games this season. I think we've only won about five of them. And two of them against, well, actually three or four of those games against real lower opposition in Europa League. So, yeah, Edward, I think he's got to go. I think he's at that point now where the players don't want to play for them.
Yeah.
Want to support him. I think he's got to go, personally.
Yeah. And one more as well. Barkley in or Barkley out?
Barkley in.
In. Good lad.
He's a local lad, and I think if you really look at our games this year, we've missed Barkley, definitely. I think he... He's that gap sometimes between the midfield and the strikers. He picks up the ball and he moves it well. And, you know, people always talk about his decision-making, but maybe that's not his best position, being up in front of goal, you know, that final pass. Maybe he's better picking it up deeper and moving with it. I think if Koeman goes, there's a chance that maybe Barkley will feature the game for us. So,
yeah,
for me.
That's what everybody's saying, is that if Koeman stays, then Barkley goes. But if Koeman goes, strong possibility Barkley stays.
Mm.
And I know which.
I believe that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, my bad. I'll make it quick because you guys pretty much summed a lot of this up. Koeman's lineup, team selection, like you said, just weak sauce. And then Koeman's hesitation to make changes. I got to be honest. If we're tied with Brighton, not talking about losing, but if we're tied with Brighton, going into like the 60th minute or something, I think it's time. I think it's time. Let's start bringing some other people in. I still don't get why Davies doesn't come in until the 80 something minute. I do not understand that. I feel like he would have been really helpful, especially if you bring in Nias. Who connects better with Nias than Davies?
Mm.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, just the fact that it took him so long to make changes, it reminded me a little bit, again, there's a lot of Martinez comparisons here, guys. There really are. Anyway, let's move on to the ugly. All right? I'll do mine because they should be brief. All right? I guess start with Michael Oliver. All right. he blew that penalty call when Sigurdsson's shirt was being pulled. Then he blew the two red card offenses. He was just kind of turd on Sunday. And he had like such a... just every time he missed something like that, and he, the look on his face when he thinks he's got it right. I hate that. Oh my gosh, I hate that. Then Morgan Schneiderlin not clearing the ball and allowing that ball to be crossed for their goal. It's hard for me not to think that goal was his fault.
Yeah.
I do. You saw him. It looked like what he was doing was trying to open up because he didn't realize there was a guy right there. And so he opened up and then he saw it. So he lunged and he didn't quite make it. I mean, when you're in the box and you're defending, it seems like the quickest thing to do is immediately, don't try to open up and make it, you know, actually get to it quickly and then assess your situation. That was really frustrating to watch because that's the second time that he's kind of messed up in the box and allowed a goal. I don't understand his transformation from last year, because last year I'd say he's one of our strongest players.
Yeah.
Well, this is the whole thing about not replacing Lukaku, isn't it? It's clear it's affecting everyone, especially Schneiderlin.
More ugly from you guys.
Guess
you
want
to go, Dave?
One for me that really jumped out. Once again, it's so negative at the moment, isn't it? But Sigurdsson set pieces. You know, I feel like we've basically bought a guy whose kind of niche is his set pieces, because he's a great player, but he's not a particularly skillful player. He's not a fast player. So his thing is set pieces. And I think there was about two or three occasions yesterday where he couldn't even beat the first man from the free kick from the corner. And then there was one where we had a real great opportunity in the second half. We had Leighton Baines and Sigurdsson standing over there. And Sigurdsson took it. And honest to God, I think my left foot would have got down on target at least. And that's saying something. It's probably a lie as well. But the point I'm trying to make is it was just a terrible effort. And, you know, if Sigurdsson isn't bringing anything from set pieces, you start panicking, thinking, well, what is he bringing to the starting 11? And by no means am I writing him off as a signing. I still believe he'll come good in a good team. But, you know, if we're not playing well and he's not playing well, if he's not even, you know, taking good set pieces, he's not bringing anything to the game. And I think that was really the ugly part for me yesterday.
Mm. Yeah, hated seeing that set piece. We just flew by the goal. Yeah. And because the whole thing, when you bring somebody like that in, you think it's almost automatic that there's going to be a legit chance on goal when he gets over the ball.
Yeah,
and because that's what he did for everybody else he's playing for, and when that sailed wide, I was just sitting there thinking, you know, man, has this gotten into your head too?
Yeah, which it probably has, sadly.
Edward, you got anything? I know because there's a lot to choose from, but
team selection. I'm going to say straight away, because if you look at how we got the penalty, right? But we got that from a free kick. Sigurdsson put in. All right, Sigurdsson did a really good free kick on that occasion. But who got the foul? Who actually got us awarded the foul? It was Morales who came on. So why hasn't Morales been starting? Because it's clear that we're needing that kind of player in the team. Like someone to make Brighton have to do the dirty work in a sense and give us those fouls to give us those chances to let Sigurdsson take the free... Well, I shouldn't really be saying Sigurdsson for free kicks at the minute. But Morales should be playing, Luckman should be playing, and as I said, and like you said before, Dave, with the whole thing with Rooney up top on his own,
yeah.
What's the point? Oh. I mean, I don't really understand. When I first looked at the lineup, I thought we were going to do the exact same formation as we did against Burnley, because it was a strong one. We just got very unlucky, and it was in one of those brief moments where everyone switched off that we conceded, because apart from that, we had a really good game with that formation. We just couldn't score, unluckily. So, at first thinking that, you know what, Rooney, Calvert-Lewin up together could work out. Rooney is the main striker alone? No. No.
Who's he going to be beating for through balls? Yeah. Like, who's he actually going to outpace for that?
Mertesacker.
Maybe
that's one.
You would have a chance.
All right. So, anything else on Good, Bad, and Ugly for this guys, or have we thoroughly dismantled this?
I think we're just going to be echoing all the pundits and fans.
We might, you know, but that probably means there's something to it. Yeah. You know? All right. So.
Oh, actually, no. Sorry. No, I just want to put one thing in. Did anyone else see Koeman's press conference before the Brighton game? Saying about no. Because he said in one comment, Sigurdsson has, what was it, something like, Sigurdsson, what you're saying, I'll just, like, say it differently, but what Sigurdsson's best position, in my personal opinion, this is what Koeman is saying, this is Koeman saying, Sigurdsson's best position, and a position he played a lot for Swansea and Tottenham, he played out on the left, and it worked for him. One, he bombed at Spurs. Two, he's been playing basically number 10s for most of his career at Swansea. And, I know I'm bringing FIFA into this, but he got a hero card and a place in the team of the week playing number 10. This is just showing his stubbornness again. Sorry, that's my rant over.
Yeah, it seems like the only way you could really put him out on the wing is to have somebody, like, you've got to have a back with pace directly behind him.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be somebody who can actually still challenge mm-hmm. and outrun some people on the flank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So that's our Good, Bad, the Ugly, Brighton. So let's jump right in with the news. So we are back with more Onyekuru news, which I didn't think was going to come back. I thought that was just going to be a juicy international piece of nonsense. You know, maybe he had gone to Liverpool just for some sort of medical checkup. No. Apparently, he's done an interview in Belgium. Apparently, he likes to talk. So he basically said, you know what I mean? it gets to all the guys in Belgium, apparently. So he gave an interview in which he said that he was waiting for something. And that's all I can say. But that actually wasn't true, because he kept talking. He said, I hope to be able to play there in January. Basically saying essentially, I think what this is he's waiting for a work permit. He's waiting to see whether or not it's actually going to happen. Some kind of special talent exception. I don't know. So this looks like there may actually be some validity to it. Is this a desperation move? And do we actually think it'll pay off? And are we going to grab an additional striker besides him in January if it comes off?
Is he a striker, though? I thought he was more like a winger.
When I see him play, I know in the Eupen, I don't even know how to pronounce that. I feel stupid now. The Eupen highlights that I saw, he was always up front and making runs at goal, like, by himself. So I assumed he plays striker. I mean, am I right about that, David?
Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, he is a striker. I think Edward, he's played in other positions, but I think his kind of official role is a striker.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't quite understand the work permit issues, to be honest. So it's hard to comment. But I mean, by all means, if we need that kind of extra firepower, then bring him in. But I think you guys have already touched on it in previous episodes. But I don't think we need this kind of player coming in up front. I think we need a more physical guy. You know, Edward said previously about we haven't replaced Lukaku. We haven't, and you can't replace Lukaku, but you can certainly find a more physical guy up front as a target man who, you know, when we are playing that one up front, it can be a more physical player. Lots of use of the word physical here, but that's what we need. We need that, and I'm just not sure that's his game, but I mean, by all means, as it is at the moment, I think we need as many options as possible.
Knowing Koeman, though, he's probably going to put him at right back or something like that.
Yeah, playing up centre back.
Yeah. Might do a better job than Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Edward, you mentioned that he could function as a winger, and I could see Koeman playing him at winger, to be honest. I could see that happening because he was playing Sandro in that position as well. I could see that coming. That could happen.
See, the whole thing with Onyekuru, though, I don't really understand. As good as a player he is, we've already got plenty of players in that sort of position, because you just know that if he comes in, if Koeman's still here at that time, he's going to do something with him and that's not going to fit in with how he normally plays. Like, you see with Lookman, Vlasic, Morales, all these players are really, really similar to Onyekuru. So if he comes in, who's going out? And a lot of people are saying Lookman, and I personally don't want Lookman to go. I think he's a quality player. Chemistry he's got with Calvert-Lewin is incredible. So why are we not utilising that? Like, Onyekuru is going to come into a big league, which I know I said about the whole thing with lower leagues earlier, but he might not be used to the whole physical presence thing, like a lot of players are, like Vlasic is. So I'd say Lookman over Onyekuru at the minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm at the point, to be honest, guys, where if a fast player wants to come play with us, I'm fine with it. You know, and the fact is, he's really cocky. Like, he's got an attitude. The guy, when you actually see interviews with him and everything, he's maybe I should say confident, but I don't know. Sometimes too much of that can come across as cocky.
Yeah.
But he's not.
Doesn't that remind you of someone else we used to have? A Belgian player we used to have.
Yeah, he seems like a guy who wants the ball at his feet in front of the goal, which is cool. You know, I like the idea of someone coming in who wants the ball at that moment. That's great. I'd rather get a target man. The only way I'm fine with Onyekuru is if we're bringing in somebody who can actually hold the ball up some.
Yeah.
Somebody who can actually finish a dead ball.
Who would you want to bring in?
You won't like it, Edward. You won't. I thought Giroud could have done a serious job for us this season, and I think he still can.
What
I
about
know
you,
he's
Dave?
Old.
Oh, sorry.
Come on. I was just going to say I think Giroud was my number one target, to be honest. And I think he was Everton's as well. I do think he'll get you 10 to 15 goals, maybe, but he brings a lot more to the team. And I think it's a real shame that he's sitting on Arsenal's bench when he could have been playing week in, week out for Everton. He would be my target. You know, he's had 5 years in the Premier League and he scored 100 goals. I know it didn't work out like that, but, you know, that's 20 goals a season, theoretically. I can see that you don't agree. Who would you go for?
I'd go for the other one, Welbeck. Personally.
See, I think Welbeck is such a worse option compared to Giroud, just for the, you know, he's more injury prone, isn't he? And
yeah.
More issues, I think. But I think Giroud is a safer bet.
He is, and don't get me wrong, I wouldn't mind having him in, but I'd rather go for better options that are younger as well. 30 years old, I mean, he'd only been with us for about like a year and a bit, and then we're in the exact same situation again. Like with Lukaku, we're missing that guy, so then we'll probably have to go for another 30-year-old or another 30-year-old. And if we get someone in young, or at least like 25, 26, like Welbeck is, Welbeck's got strength and power and pace. He's basically a bit like a B-tech Lukaku, in my opinion.
With Welbeck, there was a time where I wanted him to come to Everton. And I'm not going to sit there and act like he wouldn't help our squad. Because I think he's fast. He is fast. Because speed is really what he's got more than anything. Speed and quickness. Mm. I don't consider him to be that physical. I don't necessarily think his hold-up play would be that strong. I don't see him as being someone who can finish in the air that well. And I think we have a player very similar to him, but even a little bit more sure-footed in Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah.
You know? That's why I feel like Giroud gives us something we don't have already. And if I had Giroud on a one-on-one with the keeper versus Welbeck on a one-on-one with the keeper, I would think Giroud's going to finish it before Welbeck would. You know what I mean? Because of there's a certain amount of... Giroud's just clinical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's not quick.
No, that's why we have to put quicker people around him. Same thing we were talking about with Rooney. Got to put quick people around him.
Yeah, if you're gonna have that big target man, you have to sacrifice the pace a little bit. And yeah, I just agree. I think Giroud would have been the best option. I don't not particularly like Welbeck. I think he's a good player, but if you give me the option between the two, even with the age thing, I think Giroud is the better option.
Another player rumor, which may have less validity. Apparently, we've been linked to Carvalho again from Sporting. Do we think this is because Schneiderlin has not been his best lately? And is this a move we even need to be making right now?
No.
I don't think so.
If it was last January, I would have said yes. But the fact we've got Schneiderlin in, we've got Gay in... To be honest, we shouldn't really be looking at playing, like you've said, both of you, we shouldn't be looking really two defensive midfielders. We should really be looking at one. I mean, Schneiderlin and Gay, either of those I'm happy to have competition with. Bessage added to that. McCarthy, when he comes back fully fit, is really, really good.
Yeah, I don't think we need him. I think by all means he seems a great player, but... if we had to kind of list three places within the starting 11 that we need to strengthen, I don't think central midfielder is that. I think we should be looking at another centre-back, maybe a back and obviously a striker as well. So, no, not for me. I think the price as well, they're talking about 31. I think we need to be spending that money. And if I'm being totally honest, I don't actually think there's going to be anything in it. It seems an easy link to me. To sell some papers at the moment, but you know, I don't think he's looking to January at the moment. I think he's taking game by game to make sure he still is. So, yeah, for me, I wouldn't want him. I don't think he's going to end up coming. I hope.
I'll agree. I don't think he's going to be coming to Goodison anytime soon. But the only I usually try to play a little devil's advocate and try to get inside maybe the thinking process behind a move like this. And I think right now, Koeman likes to play Schneiderlin and Gay, two very different players. Schneiderlin doesn't really have the pace, and Gay really doesn't have the physicality. All right, Carvalho has better pace than Schneiderlin, and he's got physicality. So would that enable us to play more with just one defensive mid and add that extra attacker? I don't know. That's the only rationale that I could bring to us maybe trying to get him. I got nothing else because he's not a priority.
There's this whole thing with reports going on at the minute, and I know I shouldn't be saying really much truth behind it with the Sun reporting on it, but there's this whole thing that we're looking at apparently bringing in Rafa Benitez. I don't know. I don't know on that. I'm a bit iffy. I think he's a good manager, but the likelihood of him coming from Newcastle, especially when they're doing so well at the minute, and as well he used to manage Liverpool, doesn't make much sense to me. Don't know about you guys. What do you guys think?
It's so Benitez because he has been successful at a lot of places where he's gone to, and you know, Liverpool had no right winning the Champions League in 2005. It is, you know, I know that's coming from an Everton fan, but I think, you know, you speak to a normal-headed Liverpool fan if you can't find one. You know, they'll admit that, you know, that was a very fortunate event that they won. But then they won the FA Cup as well a year later. He went to Chelsea, interim manager, won the Europa League. Or the UEFA Cup, can't remember what version it was. So he does win things, but similar to what Edward was saying, I can't see him coming. I think Newcastle's going fit well for him. I think his ties with Liverpool FC are too strong, and I know his family still live on Merseyside, so people have talked about that being something to lure them to the city, but I think it looked like an act of betrayal. I know we went to Chelsea, but Everton obviously got bigger rivals to Liverpool than Chelsea. So I don't think he would end up coming, and I'm not sure I'd be too comfortable with it, to be honest. Not for me. I'd go on a different route personally.
That's the third manager rumor I've heard so far. You know what I mean? And I think this is just what is getting clicks right now.
Yeah.
You know, I know, what is his, what is it? Is it Matazari? What is his name from Watford?
Oh, Walter Matarazzi.
I saw a story linking us to him, which is clearly just his agent trying to generate buzz, you know, and it came from the Italian media. So do you believe it? But also I read one today about the manager at, Shakhtar Donetsk, the Portuguese manager over there. He's a really good manager. Supposedly we were looking at him before we hired Koeman, and he's done a really good job over there as well. This could be nonsense, and I think that's what we're going to see for a while here. Would I like a young, successful manager to come in? It'd be kind of cool, but again, it's a risk. You know? So anyway.
My vote goes to Ancelotti.
I know. I'm actually thinking Bruce Arena, guys.
Which one's that one?
No. I was seeing, you're supposed to laugh because that's the former USA manager who just resigned.
Ha 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 ha!
You're supposed to know that and go, you're not serious. It hurts. Anyway, yeah, okay, we got to move on because I feel sick. Last thing before we're done with the news. Peter Reed has come out and basically just, like, reamed the current Everton squad. Basically saying that Everton should be gunning for Champions League spots and that they haven't been really giving it a real go when they hit the field. He's not calling for Koeman's head. He doesn't want him to leave yet. But he said results have to change. Considering that Koeman doesn't think Champions League spots are really possible for this Everton squad, who's actually right?
Well, I think Peter Reid. Without a shadow, without a thing, Peter Reid. I bumped into Peter Reid at Old Trafford after the 4-0 game a few weeks ago. And I did a chat with him, and he wasn't a happy fella. Obviously, he had about 10 points like the rest of us. But yeah, the thing with Peter Reid is he's an Evertonian.
Yeah.
He is now, anyway. He's playing for the club. He's always loved the club. So he's suffering like the rest of us. He's spot on. I think he is in everything he said, really.
Yeah. I mean, I've met the guy myself as well, so I know what you can tell straight away. He cares. He really cares about the club and wants to do well. And like you're saying, he's an Evertonian, so he knows what he's talking about, in a sense. But he's echoing what a lot of us are saying, which is sad. It's sad that we're all saying this thing, and that Koeman is yet still turning his head away and thinking, no, I'm right in doing this. I'm going to make sure everyone else knows.
I feel like Koeman's basically saying, you know what, guys? Temper your expectations. Because if we don't fulfill what you're expecting, you're going to get pissed at me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a common thing that people do. But I don't think fans want to hear that. No. I think they want to legitimately hear we are gunning for Champions League spots because we have the talent here.
The whole thing, I think, the one big problem I have with Koeman at the minute, forget about the stubbornness, his lack of passion. I'm going to hate myself saying this, but you look at the likes of Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool. You have to, even all of us have got to admit here, he is one of the most passionate managers ever. I mean, you watch him when Conte as well. You watch them when the team scores. They are celebrating like mad. They are shaking to the bone. They're jumping in with the crowd, in a sense. And then when they're not doing well, they're all going, come on, come on, come on. Look, we can do this. Come on, let's do. Koeman's just standing there with his hands in his pockets. Like, you do not want to see that. Especially when we're losing, you don't want to see it, because it looks like he's just running out of options to do. So, find some bloody passion, Koeman. It's just...
The problem is with Everton, I've mentioned it a few times in some of the pieces I've done, but they just have such a... They've lost this kind of big club mentality. They had, you know, late 80s, going into the 90s, basically the whole Premier League era. And it's just a very, very mundane kind of existence that they've got at the moment. And, you know, we are having people coming in telling us that we should be celebrating, you know, finishing seventh in the Rumble. You know, Evertonians have had that now for about 25 years. But the whole Premier League era, we haven't really been relevant. And, you know, it was really difficult to see Mashiri, kind of our saviour, a few weeks ago, saying that... the only game that we lost that he expected us to win, meaning that the Chelsea's, United's, we were expected to lose them. I mean, that was not what Evertonians wanted to hear, especially after the summer that we had and the optimism at the start of the year. Mm. But I think that's sadly where we are at the moment. I think the club needs an overhaul, not just the management. I think, you know, we need to kind of ingrain this kind of big club mentality back into Everton if Everton ever going to be successful again. So these kind of negative comments of Koeman are just doing nothing for anybody, really.
It actually reminds me of the way Moyes was at Man U.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of undercutting it ahead of time, you know. And I mean, he did that at Everton too.
Yeah.
You know, kind of just Sunderland. He doomed Sunderland at the beginning of the season. Yeah, we're in a relegation fight. Yeah. That's going to happen. You know, it's just going ahead and saying that is just it's negative. It's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the famous line that he was talking about Everton with the it's like taking a knife to a gunfight. That and that's some boys perfectly for me. So it's a difficult period with him.
And that's the news, everybody. Now is the time where we talk about one specific player. Another polarizing player, I think. I think at the beginning of the season, there were discussions about him. And then everybody kind of agreed it was good for the club because he was scoring goals.
And now he's not.
Now he's not. It's dried up a little bit. And yeah, a lot of people think he shouldn't be in our starting 11, despite the fact that he's an Everton icon. So yeah, we need to talk about Rooney.
Rooney!
I got 5 questions. Rooney questions.
Woo!
All right, what's Rooney's best position at the moment?
With his qualities, number 10 role or sitting just behind the striker?
I agree. I don't think he's a lone striker for sure right now. Number 2 kind of deals with that. Should we be treating him like a playmaker? Putting him in positions with goal scorers rather than needing him to be a consistent goal threat.
He starts it, not ends it. Sort of like he started off instead of ending the goal.
So surround him with goal scorers, basically. Surround him with threatening players.
Yeah, I could see that.
Is there a world to build our a really strong 11 around Rooney with the other strongest players?
See, if we got him, say, last year, then I'd be like, yeah, build the team around him. But I feel like we've got so many players in his kind of position, we can't really afford... I know it sounds really harsh, because I love Rooney as much as the next Evertonian, but we can't sort of like be building the team around him, because I feel like we've got him in as a squad player, but also someone to help, say, the under-23s or something like that. So I think if anyone to build the team around, it's going to be Sigurdsson or Barkley. You know, those kind of players. Not really Rooney, because as much as I love Rooney, he's not the player he used to be. What about you?
I mean, he's clearly... I agree. He's not the player he used to be. He's not going to beat anybody with, you know, startling pace or anything. No. But having said that, in our most recent Fans Thoughts, we had to list our strongest 11. And you should check that video out, by the way. I mentioned that I might possibly have Rooney in that strongest 11 between him and Nias right now. And I actually, you know, because I wonder if Nias is really a starter. He might do better as an impact sub, and Rooney might do better from the beginning. The only way I'd be fine with that is if we've got some pace on the wings. It's the only way. I think if we've got Lookman, Vlasic, Morales, somebody with some pace on the wings, I could see him in our strongest 11. I could. Is he more impactful off the bench, or is he more valuable and effective as a starter?
Starter.
That's exactly what we were just talking about.
Starter, I'd say. Because then he may use up his energy quickly, but he's going to have that impact straight away.
Right.
Sort of like getting the players, you know, riled up to get the game started. Mm-hmm. And once we once we're comfortable, then we can say, like mm-hmm. you say, bring on someone like Niasse to basically kill the game off. Take off Rooney. Because Rooney is sort of like that expendable player out of that sort of lineup, isn't he? If you think about it.
I agree. I think he's more valuable as a starter. I think his footballing brain is more valuable through the longest part of the game rather than, you know, if we need a goal really badly at the end, I don't think bringing Rooney in is as scary to opposing defenses, even though his name still carries a lot of clout.
Remember the name, Wayne Rooney!
And that's true, and it does throw certain players off, but I think if you're in the Premier League, you're sort of over it by now. I agree. I kind of prefer him as a starter. How would you say, I mean, I've answered this already, but how would you say we get him on the field if Davies and Sigurdsson have to start?
Is this starting or is this coming on as a sub?
Let's pretend it's a starting scenario. Because I have my version of that I mentioned earlier.
But what about you?
I'd probably say the same. Or just behind,
yeah.
Say, the other striker. Sort of like playing in front of the two centre mids, maybe.
Yeah, so kind of a 4-4-1-1 kind of thing?
Yeah.
Now, that's what I think that's what Brighton run, actually. I think they run Gross right behind their striker. So, final question. Will Rooney be our leading scorer this season?
Ooh. See, I reckon once he starts, I reckon Calvert-Lewin or Niasse. In fact, I'd be willing to place down a bet saying Calvert-Lewin or Niasse is going to be our leading goal scorer at the end of the season.
I would even be more specific and say Calvert-Lewin.
Mm.
I think Calvert-Lewin will be our leading goal scorer this season.
I think
he's just going to get better.
This is going to be his season, I think.
And part of it, here's the thing that makes it complicated, okay? Whatever striker we buy during January. Because right now we're pretending like this is the squad we have now. And I think Calvert-Lewin will be the leading scorer out of that squad.
Yeah.
But throw another striker in there. He's probably going to be getting a lot of header goals kind of near the end of the season or near the end of games.
See, I feel like he's going to be sort of like our version of Rashford. You know, he's come through the ranks. He's going to score a load of goals. We'll get in a top quality striker like United have. They got Lukaku. Rashford doesn't start as many games in the striker role, but when he does, he makes an impact and he knows where the back of the net is. So I feel like that could be a similar situation for us with Calvert-Lewin. This is going to be his season where he says, "Oi, listen up." Yeah, I think Calvert-Lewin could be our sort of like our little Rashford. Although I don't want to say him like that. He's our Calvert-Lewin. But yeah. That's fine.
I'm hoping for the comparison that I'm thinking of is Harry Kane.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
I'd be fine with that. He's got to keep bulking up because Kane is bulked up. But yeah, that'd be awesome. One sentence answer. Will Rooney be a successful signing? Will we consider him a successful signing at the end of the season?
Yes, because if you look at young players, Calvert-Lewin has actually said Rooney is a big influence. So yes.
I agree. I think he's huge in the locker room, and I think he's still going to score goals. He's still going to get some assists. He's important.
Yeah.
Cool.
So Edward and I recorded that segment about Rooney earlier, and we're kind of lucky that we can actually ask David about Rooney now as well, which is awesome. So, David, I've got like 6 Rooney questions for you. Are you good with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so what's Rooney's best position at the moment?
I don't think there's a solid answer. I think Rooney's maybe best position would be a lead striker, maybe a number 10 role or somewhere a little bit deeper, close midfield.
Cool. Should we be treating him as a playmaker now, or do you think he can be a consistent goal threat?
No, I think a playmaker would be a better option for Rooney. I think he still is a goal threat, but I think he's enough of a goal threat that we should be playing him as an out striker.
Right. If you had to pick our strongest 11, is he in it?
Probably not. No. I think maybe he gets in it at the moment because the form isn't great, but I think if everybody was firing on cylinders, I think Rooney would probably be more impact player than maybe a regular starter.
So this question kind of plays off that, and you've answered it a little bit. Do you really think he's more impactful off the bench or more valuable or effective as a starter?
I think he's more of an impact player. You know, I think when he starts the game, he can suffer a bit in the second half when the pace has kind of caught up with him a little bit. Whereas his experience coming off the bench is kind of what I thought, or at least expect, we would be buying in the summer when we brought him back. So for me, he's got to be used more as an impact player. I think that saves a little bit on his legs as well over the season.
See, that's a good point. Eber and I were talking. I think both of us consider him more of a starter, but the only way you can start him is if you've got pacier players around him, you know? Because I don't see Niasse as being a reliable starter Because I see him as being one of those guys that the rest of the other team's legs are worn down, coming in like the 75th minute, and you can put Nias in there, who's instant energy and physicality. But your points, do make a lot of sense. The idea of having someone clinical and able to bring them in kind of at the end of the game, that works too.
Yeah, just having been there, he's done it all. And, you know, at the back end of a game is where you really do get that little bit more, you know, hectic. A natural head who can kind of grab control of the game. That's what Rooney is. And that's how I'd like to see Everton used.
How do we get him on the field if Davies and Sigurdsson must start, if they absolutely have to start?
Oh, it's a really tough question. I think he starts over either than two players. So I'm probably looking as an impact substitute to game. Maybe coming on for someone like Sigurdsson. He's probably the guy I'd sacrifice. I'd bring him on. I don't think he can start over either of them.
Gotcha. Okay. So, last question. Will Rooney be our leading scorer this season?
Maybe by default, because nobody else is scoring. He could be. Why not? He seems to be playing enough, and you know, I think his Halley's maybe take the moments. If he's getting the playing time, I don't see what. I'd probably not like to see that, because it means that we're not scoring goals in other positions,
right.
Or we haven't got any competition for him. But I suppose it could be, yes.
And again, differs with what we were saying. I don't know why, but if we go with our squad right now, I'm kind of thinking DCL is going to start scoring more goals. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's the one that I'm immediately saying he's going to be our leading goal scorer. But then, one of the things we weren't really thinking about earlier was this is with our squad right now. We buy purchase a striker in January or bring Onyekuru back or whatever. That's a whole different question.
I think that's a very, very fair point. And if anybody's gonna, it could be Calvert-Lewin. But the problem with Calvert-Lewin is he's still getting pushed out wide. He's not getting played in the middle, so that's gonna affect kind of goals to games ratio, I think, a little bit. I think it's a valid point what you make. I think out of this current 11 or current squad, I think Calvert-Lewin is the guy to compete with him. But fingers crossed in January, we bring someone who is an out-and-out goal scorer and striker who can take that crown at the end of the year as our top goal scorer.
Right. That definitely makes sense. I'm really curious about January. Especially, yeah. I'm even more curious about January if Kuma's not there. Because then I don't really know what to expect, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it's a different game, isn't it, then?
Yeah, because you have no idea what kind of style whoever's coming in. Or even if it's Unsworth, you know, what's he going to do? So, all right, cool. So now's the time when we lend an ear to our fellow supporters. Because we're nice like that. Also because they have thoughts that we don't have. So, yeah. Here are the fans' thoughts. Charlie 2 Freeman asks, what's the best player Everton have at the moment? All right. David, you want to lead us off on that?
On form, I think Vlasic. I think he's probably been my best player for the last 3 or 4 games. Overall, I still think Barkley. I think there'll be some hate to that answer, but I think Barkley's our best player. If we can get him back, get him on side again, get him fit, he can get to the team that next level. So at the moment, form, Vlasic, overall, I still think our man Ross Barkley.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of. Edward, what do you think?
If we take out like injuries out of the question, I would probably say someone like, I don't know, Barkley. Yeah, Barkley. Barkley, Coleman, those kind of players. It's clear we are missing those kind of players because they fit in well with the team. They get us goals and assists and clean sheets and all of that. At the current minute, though, I would say Pickford. Pickford has rescued us so many times in games. I mean, the Bournemouth game, he basically changed the game for us with that save against Defoe. If we conceded that, we would have lost easily. But he's saved us, pun intended, so many times this season. He's got to be one of our best players, if not the best at the minute.
I'm a big fan of the pun.
Yes. I was waiting for you to be like, I'll get my cone. You know,
no way, that was nice and supple.
It was. A well constructed pun is a thing of beauty, frankly.
No matter.
So I'll be quick with my answer. I'm just gonna say Michael Keane.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's the most valuable in terms of like if we sold him for money, you know, kind of thing. But
why would you want to do that?
but I will say that he's consistent performer. He's an international, and he played, and he's actually getting to play as opposed to some of the other guys who play for their international squads. They just sit the bench the whole time. I'm going to say Keane. I think it's cool that we've given a lot of different answers, though. That's actually a little reassuring.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Next question. It's not a question. This is not even a question. But
it's a statement.
Maybe we should. It is. It's more encouragement. David Graham on Instagram says, "Give it time, boys. Players need to gel. We are very quick to hop on the bandwagon when things aren't going our way. Give him a chance. He's the man for the job." I see two guys covering their mouths and rubbing their chins in response to that. What? True or not, gentlemen?
See, here's my thing. As I've said it earlier, we've played 15 games now, competitive games this season. That's nearly, you know, if you do that over a Premier League season, that's nearly half the season gone. All right, so there's been a lot of Europa League games, which is why they've come quite thick and fast. But it's not the results for me, it's the performances. No, we've lost games before, but we've got no fights. We seem to be very low on ideas. And the performances have been some of the worst I've seen over the last 10 years, easy, even with the Martinez era. So I think they're the reasons people are jumping on the bandwagon. It was poor because people don't like what they're seeing, and it's not just the results, it's the performances as well.
Edward?
I mean, I personally did, I mean, we'll go back a couple of videos, and I did say I'd like to give him until the end of November, because that's when most of the squad are back, and it gives him a bit of more time to look at these fixtures, but I'm loving the optimism. I'm loving the hope and the optimism. I think it's a brilliant thing to have in something like football. So, fair play to you. What is his name? Graham?
David Graham.
Fair play to you, David Graham. You've got the hope and optimism, which I wish a lot of Evertonians have. But we've given him a lot of time already. Like Davis said, we've had 15 games with this squad. So, and they've... the countless amounts of training sessions they've had together, if something's not gelling right, maybe it's not the parts, it's the glue, in a sense. Like, what the manager is using is clearly not sticking together, so he either needs to change it, or we need to bring someone else in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Actually a really good analogy. I'm quite happy with that.
I'm going to be a patient a little while longer. I'm not completely on the Koeman out train yet, but I literally, I have one foot off You know what I mean? Like, I'm literally, I'm so ready to jump. I'm so close. But I don't know. I usually tend to be a little more patient. Like, I think I was one of the last ones who was ready to say, Martinez, go ahead and leave. But I do think he probably should have been fired before the Man United Cup final. You know, I think that would have been a great time. Bring in, go ahead, let Unsworth take it and see what happens. Well, I think we may have won had we done that. So I'm going to be patient for a little while longer, but these guys are right. We've been doing it for a while. So John Paul Tully on Facebook asks, why, when we have a fantastic youth set up, are we not utilizing it properly and using players even until January? I'm assuming he's basically saying it takes us a while to integrate those younger players in. Sometimes it's kind of a last resort, like, okay, let's just throw them in there later in the season. I guess that's what he means.
Yeah.
I mean, my short answer to this is that I don't think Koeman trusts youth. You know, you have to really prove it to him. Think about it. How long did it take him to actually start playing Davies last season? He didn't really start playing until mid-season.
It wasn't until the City game, was it really?
Yeah, it took him a while. And I feel like most people kind of thought that he was good. He was ready. Koeman seems like he really values veterans, but that's the thing. It's almost a little, almost an overemphasis on veterans. I think Kenny probably should have gotten a lot more playing time by now. I got no excuses for that. I think it's just his personal, the way he thinks. You know, it's a personal philosophy, and I think it's actually hurting. Because this guy was right. Our youth setup is amazeballs. It's ridiculous. David, what do you got?
I don't just think it's Everton, to be fair. Like, I'd love to jump on it now and give Koeman a bit more stick, but I think just the Premier League in general, there's so much pressures on the teams and the management that I just don't think they have enough faith in youth to come in and do a job. But it is a detriment to their own success at times, because as you both said, you know, David's come in late last year, but he was fantastic when he did come in. Calvert-Lewin's now a starter for Everton as well. He only kind of made his breakthrough last year. So I think, in short, the answer is pressure. I think there's so much pressure in the Premier League that if you bring someone in and he makes a mistake or whatever, then it could be their job on the line. So I think that's the main issue with Everton as well. Although we do seem to give a little chance to our youth, then we'll just do.
Right. Edward?
Echoing both points, and I think the lack of experience that people credit them, well, that they don't have, it's the lack of experience, and you need it, really. I mean, the jump from under-23s to the Premier League itself is so big, and you see a lot of, I mean, I read somewhere that most academies, I think maybe like 10% of those players in that current squad would make it and stay in the first team. So there's also, and you look at the transfer business that Koeman did, Davies isn't getting much playing time, and he actually started quite a lot last season, but I think it's the whole thing with the transfer window. That's what's really affecting it, and I think Calvert-Lewin has got lucky, because the amount of playing time he's had, he wouldn't have had if we actually got a striker.
It's true. It's very true. Yeah, I'm not the guy who says, let's bring all the U23s, because I don't think many of them are ready. I think Kenny was ready this season, though. I think Dowell possibly could have been ready. And I'd be playing Lookman more.
Yeah.
That's about it. I don't know. And I think next season, Banigimi may get a legit look in, but because of the depth of his position, I don't know about that. All right, so the man with three first names is back, Matthew Douglas Elliott. And he's actually not only asking a question for himself, but one for his brother. So, his brother asks, due to recent performances and off-field issues, I guess Lookman and Morales, do you think Koeman has lost the dressing room?
Possibly.
I think it's a big maybe as well.
Yeah.
A definite maybe.
I mean, you look at a lot of the squad that he's already basically sort of pushed away. Barkley, for one. Niasse, all credit to him. He stuck by it. But Morales, Barkley, Niasse, Luckman, possibly. Yeah, he could have lost a lot of the dressing room, because then sort of maybe the players are thinking, hang on a minute, why are you getting rid of him? He's a good player. Like, you're making no sense. Why should we be following you? Or something like that. I don't know, personally. But yeah, it could be a big possibility that he's lost him, and that's why the performance is so bad.
David?
Yeah, in short, yes, I think he has. I think his management style is, real iron fist and, very straight. He's not your kind of manager. He'll give you the hug, puts his arm around your shoulder. I think that's great when you're playing well and you're winning games, but when it turns sour like it has now, it just pushes players further away. And I think I've already said on one of my reports, I think he's gone beyond the point of return. Yeah, I think he's lost them now. He's just a waiting game for everybody until the inevitable happens.
I mean, I think we're seeing signs, definite signs. I also think, though, a really positive result could turn it around and start making some believers of some people.
See, I think the Arsenal game could be a big turning point. If we win that Arsenal game, then I think a lot of people will start thinking, hang on, Koeman might be okay. But I think if we lose Arsenal, Lyon, which seems more and more likely, maybe even Leicester, then that is going to be the time when everyone said, right, get lost. Mm.
It's a very big week. It's a very big week. If you lose to Lyon and Arsenal, the season could... I mean, I'm not going to go too extreme. The season's not over, but without the virtually out of the Europa League, and we're not going to do anything in the league. So it's a big... It is a big... He really needs 2 wins this week.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, now, it's not his brother's question, but this is his question. What was it? Matthew Douglas Elliott, yes. He asks, are we now in a relegation battle?
Not for me.
Early to say, but possibly. Come January, if we're in the same situation, then yes, we will be, but not at the minute. A bit early to say. It's a bit early to say for a lot. I mean, Palace. Even Palace, they could possibly get out of the relegation zone. Because they just got to win. And I'm sure we've got them pretty soon as well. So that's probably going to be 3 points we're not going to be getting. I'm going to that one as well.
See, I agree with you guys. It's a really long season. Premier League season is ridiculous. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I think it's way too early to be saying, relegation battle is on the cards right now. But I also know, just because we're one of the bigger teams in the Premier League, it doesn't mean we don't need to be looking down and looking up, and being aware of that. I feel like a lot of big teams, they get cocky and they think, you know what? Oh, it couldn't happen to us. That's why I keep catching myself. I mean, remember, you suck right now, guys. You may still suck in a little while. So, yeah, I agree with you guys. Not yet. Not yet. Famous EFC on Instagram asks, what's our realistic target for this year? I'm still going to say 6th. What about you guys?
No, I'll get it relegated.
I don't know. Nobody knows what Everton we've got on our hands at the moment. I think, sadly, I wouldn't have took it at the start of the year, but maybe if we finish top 8 from where we are now, we've probably salvaged the season a little bit, so maybe top 8.
Yeah.
Hmm? You say top 8 as well, Edward?
Yeah.
I'm saying
semi-final, something like that, maybe.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Just some success. I don't know. I don't want to completely drop the feeling that I had at the beginning of the season. I think the teams between us and sixth right now are the type of teams that are not necessarily always reliable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They could go through a bad patch. I think they usually do. So those teams have not proven to be consistent. So I do think I'm not keeping my eye off sixth or seventh right now. Mm-hmm. I'm still looking at that. But realistically, eighth is a really good shout. Really is.
Yeah.
Next, this is a good question. CJ William 2 on Instagram asks, if we move to Bramley Moore, do you think we'll play poorly in our first season like West Ham did?
Depends how the whole thing with them... Depends how the stadium's built. If it's built corporately, then we probably will do bad. But if it's built like an actual football stadium meant for football, then we'll probably just either do the same or better.
Everything that I've heard about what this stadium is supposed to be points to really steep stands, really close to the pitch. And I've got belief in Dan Meiss and everything. I think we're going to play great as soon as we get there. West Ham's pitch is so far from the stands and from the seats because they had to allow for the track that there's no atmosphere there. That makes sense. I think this design is going to be... I haven't seen it because I'm just some dude. But, yeah, I think we're gonna play great there. Just saying. I got belief.
You've just jinxed it now. Well done.
Hold on. Here's some wood. There we go. All right. David, what do you got?
Same. I think, West Ham went from Upton Park, which is, or the Boiling Ground, sorry. That was similar to Goodison, very close to the pitch. Steep stands. Then to where they are now, the London Stadium, which is a complete opposite. So I think it's hard to compare ourselves to that. If indeed we are going to have the steep stands, I'd like to think we can just adjust and go straight in there and start doing well. It's not easy, of course, but I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be all right.
All right. Moving on to what is going to be our final question. At EJF_01 on Instagram asks, how many players from the current squad would you get rid of or sell?
Ooh, I have a question.
That's juicy.
Mm. Well, let's get my program. I'll go through... Tell you what, actually, I know what I'll do. I'll go through the list of players on the back of this. You guys say keep or sell.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
It's got to be rapid fire.
All right,
ready?
Okay. Ready? Pickford.
Keep.
Keep.
Schneiderlin.
Keep. Oh.
Keep. I thought about it.
Baines.
Keep.
Keane.
Keep.
Keep.
Williams.
Sell.
Sell.
I'll have to say sell too.
Jagielka.
Keep.
Balassi.
Keep because of the locker room, by the way.
Yeah.
For Jags.
Yeah.
Last season, I would have said sell.
No, I wouldn't.
All right.
I wouldn't have. But anyway.
I would have.
Balassi.
Keep.
Keep.
Yeah. Barkley.
Keep.
Yeah. Sandro.
Yeah, I'd still keep.
Give him a little bit of leeway. Rooney.
Keep.
Keep.
Yeah. Morales.
Sell.
I'm going to say sell.
Possibly sell, but I do still rate him. Lennon.
Sell.
Sell.
Martina.
Sell.
Yeah, sell.
McCarthy.
Sell.
I'd still keep him.
He's not fit, is he?
Don't know.
He's supposedly fit and going to be playing with U23 soon.
Okay.
But he's not completely match fit, I guess is the difference, right?
As soon as he plays for Ireland. Idrissa Gueye.
Keep.
Yeah. Sigurdsson.
Keep.
Keep.
Niasse.
Oh.
Keep. I'd say keep for now.
Give him until the summer.
Yeah, me too. Agreed. Keep for 1 year.
Klaassen.
Keep.
I'm going to keep still.
Besic.
I think keep still.
He's sell for me. I think he's another one. He's just not. He's a good player, but he's a bit limited and he's never fit again. But I do like him.
Stecklenburg.
Sell.
Sell.
Coleman.
Keep.
Keep.
Funes Mori.
Keep for now.
Yeah.
I want to
give
wait a little
give
bit.
Give him till the end of the season.
Let's see how he comes back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Davies.
Keep.
Yeah. Vlasic.
Keep.
Yeah. Calvert-Lewin.
Keep.
Keep.
Holgate.
Keep.
Luckman.
Keep.
Keep.
Robles.
I'd still keep him as our number two.
I'd keep him as number two as well.
I would keep him if he was happy being a number two, but I don't think he is.
Yeah, he's got ambition for a little bit more, hasn't he? Maybe back to Spain.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to say sell just because I think that's one of the reasons why he wasn't given like a legit number, because I think he, behind closed doors, asked if he could leave.
Yeah.
So
possibly.
All right. All right, is that it?
One more. Kenny.
Keep. Yeah. We were rather thorough there, EJF01. Just saying. So we're going to run down this Europa League matchup coming up between Everton and Lyon. So yeah, Thursday, Lyon comes to Goodison. And if you don't know what's going on with Lyon these days, this is what. Current form, they currently sit in sixth in the French First Division. They're 4-4-1. They beat Strasbourg, Rennes, I'm going to butcher these, Guingamp, and Monaco.
You did well there.
I'm trying. They drew with Bordeaux. Was it Nantes?
FC Nantes.
Nantes?
I think it is something like that.
Dijon and Angers. Maybe. And they lost to PSG, which is a total shocker. In Europa League, they drew with Apollon and Atalanta, so they're doing a little better than us.
Yeah. I mean, we lost, didn't we?
They got one more point than us.
Yeah.
So a win would really, we'd hop them, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
And their danger men.
Fekir.
Nabil Fekir. Yeah, he's good. 7 goals and 4 assists.
Good on FIFA as well.
I knew you'd know that. So he's not just scoring, he's getting assists too. He's just, yeah, we gotta look out for him.
Yeah.
And Depay. Yeah. Depay has 2 goals, 3 assists. Mariano has 7 goals. And Bertrand Traore, if for nothing else, we know who he is.
Yeah. Who's he?
wait a minute, I can't tell your sarcasm there, right? Okay, good. Nice. Just check it. All right, so... So, let's give our predicted lineups. David, you're the guest. What on earth is Koeman going to do on Thursday?
Oh, age-old question. I don't think Koeman knows what he's going to do, so it's going to be impossible for us to predict it. But I think he'll go with putting a cup goalkeeper in again, so I expect to see maybe Stettenberg in goal. I think he can't afford to take any chances, so I imagine we'll see Jagielka, Keane at the back, Baines left back, Holgate again. I genuinely believe he's going to repeat the same team from Sunday. I think he's going to play 2 holding players, Schneiden, Gay. Yeah, and then he's probably going to have Calvert-Lewin one side, Vlasic the other. Maybe, I don't know why, I've just got a feeling he might give Klaassen.
Yeah, I was going to say Klaassen.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe just Sigurdsson's form isn't great for Everton anyway. And then, yeah, probably Rooney up top again, which I'd like to see something a little bit different. But yeah, that's for me, I think that's what he's going to go with.
Cool. Edward, how do you differ there?
Me personally, I think he's either going to go really, really different. So he could basically go with the same lineup, but a bit more experience, a bit more higher up standard than the Sunderland lineup that we had against them in the cup. That was a really good team. We won comfortably, okay, against Sunderland, but it still worked. Or I reckon he'll probably go. I don't think he's going to risk it with Stekelenburg. I think he's going to go Pickford. I think Holgate, Keane, Jagielka, Baines, it's the same lineup. I think he might actually ditch the two defensive midfielders. I think he'll only take one, maybe Besic. Klaassen in, I'd have Sigurdsson, a bit more forward than the other two, but I'd have him in. I'd have Sandro in, and Calvert-Lewin, and Vlasic. That's the kind of team I'd like to see play. Quality at the back, so experience at the back, which we definitely need. Pickford in goal, so our best goalkeeper by far. Three centre mids, one of which got to the Europa League final, and the other two are good quality. One's a bit, and then the front three shown they can work together.
I'm so, like, not as creative as you guys are going with this. I don't know. I get the vibe that Koeman's starting to get kind of scared. I feel like he's desperately trying to find some sort of stability. So I don't think he's going to make a whole lot of changes from the last game. I could see him subbing Holgate out, and I could see Martina going in. I'd love to see Kenny going in, but I think he trusts Martina more than he trusts Kenny right now. We may not. We may not completely agree. Exactly. So I could see that happening. And again, it's a toss-up between Pickford and Steck. At the beginning of the season, I would immediately said Steck for Europa League and for any of the other cups. But because I think he's, again, worried, I think he's going to – I don't think he wants to be out of Europa League yet. So I think he may go with Pickford again. Pickford, Martina, Keane, Jagielka, Baines, Schneiderlin, Gay, Vlasic or Davies, but I think he's going to stick with Vlasic. I mean, it's the same team pretty much. Sigurdsson, Calvert-Lewin, and Rooney. I just don't think – I would love to see him, you know, reach down in and pull out his guts and actually start being, you know, taking a chance. I just don't see it happening. I would love to see Sandro get a run. That'd be cool. I'd love to see Davies get the kid in. You know, we play better when he's in, usually. But, and I definitely think Gay's going to play just because, isn't Lyon like his former team?
No, it's,
No, it's Lille. Lille was his former team. But the fact that he's from the French league, he's just familiar with that league. I feel like they'll play him. I would love to see Schneiderlin sit down and Davies take Schneiderlin's place.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd
really like to see a 4-4-2. I think the same defence, but I'd like to see Davies, Gay, and then two out-and-out wingers, and then have Rooney and
Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, I think that would be perfect. Screaming out for that, and then just everybody knows what to do. And you know, we got wingers playing out on the wing, not strikers. We got a creative midfield in Davies for me, or at least a box to box. You got Gay, you can kind of anchor them down. We always seem to be trying to do this either trying to get this three formation behind the one lone striker, and we're always, it feels like we're fitting players into that formation. I don't think Koeman realizes. We don't have to stick to that formation. We can play a different way.
Well, Martinez basically played that exact same formation his entire... It worked for the first season, but soon after, everyone got the idea of it, and...
The greatest managers have always learned to adapt, and I think that's what Koeman needs to do.
But he's doing what he... It's Valencia happening for him again. So, I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to see some change, but I think this is going to be the end of the road for Europa League. I'm not confident.
With Koeman, like you were saying, most successful manager, I think you look at your personnel. Who do you have? And what gives you the best chance to win a game? Mm. You know? That's why so many coaches that don't have really athletic squads. They play primarily defensive, and they park the bus, and they're just literally trying to get a draw or maybe trying to get something on a transition just to catch the other team unawares. That's a common. You examine your squad and you fit your formation and your style around it rather than trying to shoehorn all these players that don't fit what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. He's literally slamming his head into the wall, not realizing, hey, there's a doorway over there, dude.
Yeah.
You know, it's frustrating to watch. I do think he's tweaking sometimes, but he's not tweaking from the beginning of the game. That's what's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, predicted results. What are we thinking?
Well, I don't mind going first because I'm not confident. I think as was already said, I think it will be the end of the road for Europa League a little bit after this game. I think Lyon are going to win 2-0. I think kind of in years gone by, you know, at Goodison you always have the crowd on side, and for these kind of bigger kind of European nights, they're up for it. But I think, you know, the fans aren't. If we concede a goal early on, I think we crumble. I think the fans would be on the players' back, and yeah, I can't see any way really that we're gonna win this one.
The way I'm seeing it at the minute, and I'm sure you'll agree, Dave, the atmosphere at the minute, it feels toxic. It feels just really acidic because you've got some people actually wanting us to lose games so that Koeman can get sacked and we can move on. And then some people are just so confused about what's happening. I mean, I'm one of the people confused. I just don't know what we've got to do to get Koeman to realise these things. And I'm almost in, I'm a bit on the fence about us wanting us to lose and wanting us to stay in, because I'd love us to stay in, get a road to Europe. I mean, it'd do great for my channel, but then the other side of me thinks, are we going to get that far with Koeman if he doesn't change his ways? So, and then you've got a load of people like wanting to get on his side, but then they've just not got the energy. You know, that I spent about near enough £20 last game upon Limassol. In fact, I was really doubting coming to this one. And that's one of the other things as well. You've got people not wanting their money wasted for these kind of performances, and it feels really toxic. It just feels really horrible at the minute.
It sounds quiet on TV.
Yeah.
It sounds quiet. That's the main way I can describe it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about Goodison that everybody always says. Every opponent from the past has said, that's my favorite place to play. That's the hardest place to play. The atmosphere there is insane.
Even one of the commentators, I know I'm going back to it again, FIFA, but like every time you play a game at Goodison, no, seriously, every time you play a game at Goodison, Alan Smith always says, oh, I remember going to the games, say with Everton v United, and the gantries were shaking. But he's right. It used to happen, but now we're so used to the bad football, the bad results, that it all just feels a bit like, what do we do?
Hmm. Yeah, I know Arlo White, who's one of the main commentators here in America for NBC Sports, he said Goodison is his favorite gantry. You know, and it's, I guess it's just like everybody else says, you know, it's so intimate and so close and it's so tight and you're a part of it and it's just electric. And it's not playing that way on TV at all because the results aren't there and the fans are, you can tell the supporters are not, they're not having it. And it'd be one thing if they saw players bleeding for the shirt, if they saw players doing everything they could, I think they would maybe have a little more patience at that point. But you don't really see that. You know, so that's the thing that I'm saying. I'm really trying to be positive here. Edward, what was your predictive result?
Predictive result. I'm doing those two things again with head and heart. With my heart, shut up. This one's going to be interesting. For heart, if we put out the right lineup, I'm going to say we win 3-1, because Lyon will probably get a goal, but I reckon we could if we play the right lineup. But with my head, if we go with the same again, and I think we will, we're going to get slaughtered.
So I think we'll either win or lose or tie. No, it's going to be one of those. It's Edward, you always cover your bases. Hey, if we play well, I think we're going to win. And honestly, I think we're going to win. I don't know why. I have nothing to back that up other than I think the little bit of good mojo we had at the end of the last game, I think that might propel us to something. I think it takes little moments that can potentially define a season. We did have a little bit of good luck at the end of the last game. We did. It was a little bit, and we had bad luck not to score immediately afterward. We should have won based on the chances at the end of the game. You know, first half was shit, but you know what I mean. So I'm going to say we're going to win. Yeah, I think we're going to win 2-1. Lyon usually plays close games. They don't have a lot of blowouts. They don't get blown out, and they don't blow a lot of people out. So I'm going to say 2-1 win just because it's time. But you guys are probably going to be right.
No, I think the good thing about this game is it's all or nothing, isn't it? If we don't win this, then we're pretty much out. So everybody knows that we need to win it, and maybe that'll work in the favour of the team. You know, they know you have to go for it. So you might be right. I hope you're right.
We'll probably be filming on the day after, won't we? So I'm hoping to have a good match day vlog out on that day. If not, I'm going to be very upset on the day.
I'm ready to be optimistic with good reason.
I don't know. I'm actually one of those people where I'm thinking, do I want us to win or do I want us to lose? Because this is what
For me, it's never a question. I'm always, every time I'm like, even if it's going to help usher in change that needs to happen, I still
want us to win.
I'd prolong it as much as possible with ugly wins if I have to. We're all predicting a game to happen, and David's thinking this, there'll be a loss. Edward's predicting either a loss or a win, and I'm predicting a win. So there we go. All right? If you're liking our videos, you should subscribe because it makes us feel warm inside. Like them. Leave some comments, all that awesome stuff. We like it when you tell us things. All right? Also, please check out Edward's channel. The details are down there in the description. Edward's taught me this nice shortcut down there in the description. Check it out. Read David's pieces on the Toffee Blues site. They're informative, funny, and they won't take an entire afternoon to read.
And they're not a waste of your time.
So anyway, thanks so much for talking to us, David. Thanks so much for everything.
Thanks.
You really lent a lot to the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Edward, thanks again as always, brother.
No problem.
And for the audience, if you are listening via podcast, please subscribe to our podcast, rate it, and all that nice stuff, and tell all your friends. Please check out the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and check out the Toffee Blues website where you can read all of David's delicious articles.
Hey.
All right? So, yeah, that is it. We're done. Until next time, let's hope for a good result on Thursday.
Adios.
We're out.